25th chapter of Acts. Now I'm going to start reading at the 10th verse, 25th chapter of Acts. Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, Hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go. And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came and Caesarea to salute Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, There is a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him, to whom I answered, It is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. Therefore, when they were come thither, without any delay, on the morrow I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth, against whom, when the accusers stood up, they brought none accusation of such things as I supposed, but had certain questions against him of their own superstitions, and of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you again today for your wonderful grace. I thank you, Lord, today for those who've made their way here to be in this place, to be in the Sunday school hour, to be in the services here this morning. Lord, we trust and pray that all things has pleased you well this morning. We trust that, Lord, we presented the Word of God in our Sunday school classes concerning the resurrection, and Lord, that you was pleased with it. And Father, we pray this morning as we prepare to preach, God, that you'll just take this simple message and use it to your glory. Help this preacher. I need you, Father. I need your power, your wisdom. You know the things I need, Father, and I ask you for them. And Lord, above all, we want to see you honored and glorified this morning. Please, Lord, should there be any here without Christ, oh God, let this be the day they're born again. They come to know Christ as their Savior. We as Christians, Father, I pray you help us, Lord, to just have a better understanding and Lord, a more of a love for you this morning of what you've done for us. And thank you, Lord, for your wonderful grace, your goodness to us. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Preaching a message this morning, which I've entitled, It Was Affirmed That He Was Alive. I think about the resurrection, and I guess, you know, you could just go on and on and on. We had an enjoyable time in our Sunday school class, and I think all Sunday school classes did this morning as we talked about the resurrection of Christ. It's a wonderful truth. It's one that you don't ever get tired of. It's just a blessed thing, you know, if a man confess with his mouth and believe in his heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, it's resurrection. It's a resurrection. Raised him from the dead. You know, he's a living Savior. He's not dead. He's alive. And we just want to kind of confirm that this morning. Let everybody know that Jesus Christ lives. I think you already know that, but boy, isn't it good to say it even. I like even hearing it out of my own mouth. I just like hearing it, that Jesus Christ is alive. He's not dead. He's the Son of God. He's God the Son. And he rose from the dead so that we could be justified, washed from our sin. I think it's a wonderful thing. I know I do this when I pray and talk about the sins being washed away. There's just sometimes it floods my soul to think that God would just wash away my sin. And there's no sin there anymore, not in his eyes. It's been washed away, cleansed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, you see. Well, all that took place, you see, because Jesus rose. He died, but if he hadn't rose again, we'd be in trouble. Amen. But he rose again, and I'm thankful for that. We find here in this portion of Scripture, Festus was given an account of why the Jews had brought an accusation against Paul here. And they certainly had brought an accusation against him. Over in verse number 7, we did not read that, but he says, "And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood around about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, Wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me?" You see, they brought a lot of accusations against the Apostle Paul. And what Festus thought was, Festus thought, well, their accusations, this guy is a criminal. He's really done some terrible, wicked things, you know. But come to find out, when the Jews came and presented all of this, it wasn't that at all. It was about their religion. It was their superstitions. And so they brought those kind of accusations against Paul. They, as verse 19 tells us, it says, "And had certain questions against him of their own superstitions." You see, they brought these false accusations and these questions about the Apostle Paul. But the Apostle Paul, what he did was, you know, he just asserted, or he affirmed, that Jesus Christ was alive. You see, he wasn't talking about religion. He was talking about the Son of God raising from the dead, you see. And what a wonderful, wonderful truth that was, you see. And so they had their questions, they had their opinions about religion. But the Apostle Paul, he was talking about a person. He was talking about a person who was dead and now is alive. That's all he was interested in. He was interested in preaching Jesus Christ. I think you already know this, but I want to tell you, Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the all of it. He's the one that authored it. He's the one that began it. He's the one that finished it. And he's everything in between. He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. He's the Son of God, yet he's the Son of Man. I like that. He's eternal, yet he's born into this world. Amen. He was our sacrifice, yet he was the prophet and a priest and king. And yet he became our sacrifice. He's the bearer of our sorrows, yet he's the fountain of our joy. Whew. I mean, he's good, isn't he? He's wonderful. He's the sacrifice for our sin, yet he's the source of our righteousness. It's all in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I just want to brag on him this morning. I just want to tell you how good he is, how wonderful he is, what he did in his death and burial and resurrection. And he did it all for you, done it all for me. He loves us so much. Amen. We ought to love him back. I was thinking this morning again, as I was just kind of thinking about these things, and I thought, Jesus, I don't know why everybody don't love you. I mean, I don't love him a lot of times like I should. And I get so aggravated myself. I don't do everything I should for him. And I wonder why. Because he's so good. He's done everything for me. I mean, he's died on the cross for me. He shed his blood for me. He rose again. And he gave me salvation, forgiveness. Why in the world would not I give my whole life to him? Why would not I give every second of every day to him? He's a wonderful, wonderful Savior, you see. And so what we ought to do is just glory in the cross of Christ. You know, God forbid that we would glory in anything else but the cross of Christ. Amen. He's a wonderful, wonderful Savior. And he died there on the cross for our sins. And then he was buried and he rose again the third day, you see. He's alive this morning. He's alive. He lives. He's here with us this morning. His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is here with us. He's waiting to come back to be with us permanently and to take us home to be with him. I'm just telling you, he's a wonderful Savior this morning. He's good, and he's just everything that anybody needs, you see. And because he lives, I just want to tell you something. Because he lives, we'll live. Because he lives, we live right now. We have life right now because he lives. Amen. He's a wonderful, wonderful Savior. And we have that eternal life because he lives, because he rose from the dead. I believe all preaching, I think Apostle Paul did, and I believe that all preaching ought to be about Jesus Christ. If you read, and I know you preach about other things, but the center of everything ought to be about the Son of God. Ought to be about Jesus. Apostle Paul, if you look and hear he's preaching, his preaching was about the Lord Jesus Christ. It was about Christ. He presented him always. I want to be like him in that respect. That's about the only respect I can be like him. I can preach like Paul did by preaching about Jesus. and telling people about Jesus Christ. You see, all of our preaching ought to be about him. Somewhere we may preach about other things, but it ought to come back and center on Jesus Christ, you see. Festus spoke of him. He spoke of him only as this one Jesus. The world talks about Jesus as just somebody, some individual that existed upon the face of this earth. But you know, and I know, it's more than that. He's the Son of God. That's why we've got to keep preaching him. We've got to tell everybody about him, because they don't understand. Most of the world don't understand how wonderful he is. Most of the world just calls him, as Festus says, this one Jesus. He's just somebody, some individual that existed one time. No, he's more than that. He's God the Son. He's the Son of God. He's Jesus. He's the only way of salvation. There is no other way of salvation, period. Amen. And so I say to you, that's why we've got to just keep preaching him. Never grow tired of preaching about Jesus Christ. Never get tired of saying his name. Never get tired of telling the story. I thought about the resurrection story this morning. How many times I've stood and preached about the resurrection, but I'm not tired of it. All of our Sunday school classes was teaching about Jesus Christ, the resurrection. How many times has our students heard that? I'm not tired of it. I want them to hear it. I want them to hear it over and over and over, how wonderful the Lord Jesus is, you see. But to many people, the preaching of the cross and the preaching of the resurrection is an offense to people. See, they don't understand. That's why we've got to keep preaching it. We got to keep putting the word out there. I was telling our Sunday school this morning, we'll probably talk about it again here. Folks, listen, people's going to get offended at the preaching of the cross. They're going to get offended at it. Some people are going to grow tired of it. Some people don't want to hear the story over and over and over. They'll get tired of that story. But no, not if you're a Christian, you won't. It's just some story you want to hear over and over and over. It's just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful story, you see. And the doctrine of the resurrection is a wonderful story. And we just need to preach it, preach it, preach it, preach it. Because without the resurrection, you and I would not have eternal life. We'd be dead. We'd be done. It'd be over for us, you see. You see, Christ to a lot of people is a stumbling block. It's foolishness. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to a lot of people. You see, and I'm just going to say this to you this morning. I don't know you. I don't know your heart. I don't know everybody here. I know most of the people here. But I'm just telling you, if the cross is a stumbling block, if the cross is foolishness to you, there's something wrong. You need to understand the cross and the resurrection is the most wonderful story. It's a tremendous story. It's what bought our salvation for us. Amen? So don't never grow tired of hearing about it. And I don't care who it is preaching it. You see, I'd rather hear somebody else preach it. Don't make any difference. It's the same story. You see, in all seriousness, folks, listen, folk all over this world can preach the gospel better than I can, but they can't preach a better gospel. No, sir, I preach the gospel of Christ, and I preach about the resurrection. They can't preach a better resurrection than what I preach. They may preach it in a better way, but they can't preach a better resurrection. It's the resurrection of Christ, the Son of God, you see. So, you see, and the reason they don't is because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to them. You see, they're foolishness to them. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. They don't understand. They don't know. You see, many people sit and they listen to the story of the resurrection. They listen to the story of his death. They don't understand it. They don't discern it. And the reason is they're spiritually dead. Not trying to offend, I'm just telling you the truth. Folks, you won't understand the truth of the Word of God unless you got a spiritual life about you. Amen. You've got to be born again to enjoy the story of the truth of the Word of God about Jesus and his wonderful birth and his wonderful life and his death and his burial and his resurrection. That sends joy into our heart that know him as personal Savior. Amen. So it's a marvelous thing, but the natural man doesn't receive those things. There's no way they can receive them because they don't have the spiritual discernment to understand those things. I'm not picking on them. I didn't either before I was saved. See, I was telling in our Sunday school class this morning, I kind of started off a little bit this morning telling back when I was a little boy and all I knew was the Easter egg hunts and the Santa Clauses and all of that stuff and all that. But I don't ever remember them ever putting it in my heart. They give me Easter eggs and they give me candy and they give me all those things, but it didn't put in my heart the truth of the Word of God that I was a sinner and I needed Christ. And that's what we need. So as a young boy, I didn't have that understanding, that natural man. I just had the natural man understanding. I didn't have the spiritual man understanding. I didn't have it. Why? I wasn't born again. Not until I was saved when I was 26 years of age did I really understand the truth and how sweet and wonderful the truth of the Word of God is concerning his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Amen. So I'm just saying to you this morning, if your heart doesn't leap, if you don't care about the things of God, it's probably because you're a natural man and don't really care about the things of God. I'm not picking on you. I'm just telling you the truth. Because every Christian that knows Christ as their Savior, there's just something within them that Easter time and any other time, you know, you think about God and you think about Christ and what he's done, it's just something that wells up within you. It's a wonderful thing. Why? Because you love God, you realize what he's done for us. So the Apostle Paul was preaching. He was preaching about Jesus. And let me say to you, this was not a new message. See, this was not new, some new religion that was coming along. No, this was clear back in the Old Testament. I mean, I want to tell you something. I preach and I worship the same God that Abraham worshiped. I worship the same God that Jacob and Isaac worshiped. Yes, sir. Oh, Noah and all those, Adam and all of those back in those days, they worshiped the same God I worship. Same God. So this is not just something new. This is this here, this resurrection, this death and burial and resurrection is just the finishing out of what God's plan was from the very beginning. You see, you know, a lot of people get caught up in that thing. But they get caught up and say, well, these are the Old Testament here and the Old Testament there, you know. Well, folks, it all goes together. It's just, you know, God just fulfilled it all. God just come along in the New Testament and brought his son, the Lord Jesus. And he just fulfilled it all. And you see, and it was fulfilled and finished, you see, in his death and burial and resurrection, you see. The suffering Messiah, we're told about that over in Psalms 22 and over in Isaiah 53. We're told about those things. This isn't a new story. This isn't something new. This is a wonderful, wonderful story. The resurrection of Christ, the truth of Jesus Christ, is a wonderful story from the very beginning of time. It's God's plan. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I love C.H. McIntosh. I don't know whether you young Bible students, whether you've ever read him or not, or you young men is getting ready to preach one of these days, get the two volumes of C.H. McIntosh that he wrote. They're still in print. But I want to tell you, I read those things sometime. I haven't read any for a good long time, but I read them and I see Jesus. He sees McIntosh seeing Jesus in everything. Just seen him in the Old Testament, the New Testament, just saw Jesus. I think that's the way we ought to see him. He's just everywhere. He's throughout the Bible. He's what the Bible's all about, you see. And then and you just think about it, finishing it all up here in his death and burial and resurrection, you see, from the dead, you see. And as I said to you, the preaching of Christ, the preaching of Jesus Christ will bring reproach to you. I want you to look here in Acts, the 24th chapter of Acts. Let me read to you some verses of Scripture. 24th chapter of Acts, verse 1. And after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence. He began to brag on him, you know. And we accept it always and in all places, most noble Festus, Felix, with all thankfulness. And he says, notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow. Now he's talking about Paul. He said he found him a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the whole world, and ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also hath gone about to profane the temple, whom he took and would have judged according to our law. What I'm saying to you folks is, here was the Apostle Paul preaching the truth of the Word of God, preaching Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, they was mad at it. They didn't like that. They wanted to tell him that he was somebody trying to tear everything up. Now, I just want you to know something. I want you to understand something. You preach Jesus, and I'm not just talking about behind a pulpit. I'm talking about you giving the truth of the Word of God. Folks, you're going to be in trouble. I think that's reason. And honestly, I believe this. I think it's the reason most folk don't do it. They're so afraid. They're so they don't want someone to dislike them. They just don't want somebody to just say bad things about them. They're afraid they might get in Paul's position where somebody will hold them account for this. I'm saying to you, folks, it's gonna cause problems. You see, it'll bring reproach when you preach Christ. It'll bring reproach. Amen. I was so thankful at the funeral yesterday, Mr. Deering's funeral. I was so thankful the man got up and he preached Christ. I know there was a lot of Catholic there. I know there was. That's Catholic country down in there. A lot of people wasn't liking what he was saying. He wasn't offensive. He just preached Christ. He just preached it right down the line. That'll bring reproach. Oh, I went away from there thanking God. Thank God he gave the message and presented Jesus. You see, that's what you do. That's what I do this morning. I present it, and I don't think that you don't like it, but it doesn't matter what you like or not. You preach Jesus. And it doesn't matter when you go out on the streets and talk to people. Don't matter what they think. You preach Jesus. It's going to bring reproach. You understand? Now look over in chapter 26, verse 23 and verse 24, and he said that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. You see what Festus said about him? He said, you're mad. I mean, you're a madman. You're crazy. And I'm saying to you, that's always going to bring reproach, you see. You and I have got to understand something, folks. We're not going to be well thought of just because we're a Christian, because we're going to preach Christ. Folks are going to get aggravated. If everybody likes you, I want to say something. There's something wrong. Now, I'm not talking about going out and trying to be offensive. I'm talking about if you go out and the world loves you and the world don't. I mean, there's something wrong, folks. It's just not right. You see, because preaching the gospel will bring forth. And when I say preaching, I'm not talking about just behind here. I'm talking about presenting the gospel out to people is going to bring reproach on you. People are going to say, you're a madman. You're crazy. So I'm simply saying to you, folks, we can't let that worry us. The Apostle Paul did not let that worry him. He just preached Christ. And all of his messages and everything he preached, he just preached Christ, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to stop just a moment. I don't know your situation. I don't know what you do on a daily basis, a regular basis, about witnessing. But I want to ask you something. Do you preach Christ? Are you afraid to preach Christ? Do you tell anybody? I didn't say you invite him to church. I think that's a good thing to do, to invite folk to church. But if that's all you ever do, you've not got the gospel out. You've not preached the gospel. You got to get the gospel out. You got to tell people how to be saved. People are not going to get saved unless you tell them how to be saved. You say, I'm a Christian. How did you become a Christian? How are they going to know how to become a Christian if you don't tell them how to become a Christian? Amen. And you know the reason they don't a lot of times is because, you know what, they're afraid of the offense that it brings. The preaching of the cross brings offense. But I want to tell you something, folks. Jesus went to the cross for us. He died on the cross for us. He was buried. He took all of that punishment for us. And then he rose again, you see, for us. Now, should not we be willing to present the gospel? Yeah. To tell people how wonderful he is, not just from behind a pulpit? You know, honestly, it's pretty easy to do it up here. That's what people expect. They expect it up here. They expect me to preach. They expect me to tell people about Christ. That's why you came to church for. It's pretty easy, honestly, to do it from up here. But I want to tell you, when you walk from off of this platform and you walk out and get in your car and you go downtown and you meet somebody, we still ought to preach it. We ought to still be giving forth the gospel. Why? Because Jesus, you see, rose from the dead, you see. And you're gonna raise opposition. You cannot preach Jesus Christ without raising opposition against you. Okay? Sure. You see, what we've got to do, and look at Acts 24 again, in Acts 24, verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. What did Paul preach? Did he give him a good oratory about some history lesson? Is that what they needed? He preached Christ. See, he needed Christ. That's what they needed, and that's what Paul gave them. And, you know, our preaching has to be full of Christ. You see, not in an offensive way, but we got to tell them about Jesus, the Son of God. Amen? See, folk are not going to be saved if we don't, you see. And then in chapter 26, verse 23, it says, and Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should raise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. You see, you notice here, Paul declared the resurrection. He said he was the first to raise from the dead. He wasn't ashamed of the teaching and preaching of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. No, he affirmed it, that's exactly what happened, you see. And he said he's the first. You know, when I think about somebody being the first, I think there's more to come. And I like that part. Yes. Amen. If he was the first, then there's more to come. And folks, because he rose, we rise. Yes. We can live forever in heaven forever. What a wonderful thing, you see. Why? Because he rose. He was first, you see. I think about, I'm sure you do too, but I think about my loved ones. I want to see my loved ones up there in heaven. I mean, I really do. I've been so thrilled. I told my Sunday school class in this last year, my brother Herschel got saved, and I just rejoice. I'm going to spend eternity with him, and I think about it, and I know you feel that way about your people. I know you do. I mean, you know, if you've got some that's lost, you're concerned about it. I'm sure you are. You're concerned about it. And it's just exciting. When I've got some other family members I'm a little bit concerned about, I'm trying to give them the gospel. Sometimes I offend them by giving them the gospel. I got one offended at me now because I give them the gospel. But what I'm saying is you just have to get offended, because I'd rather get offended here than go to hell. I want them to be saved. I want to see my loved ones in heaven. Well, when I enter those streets of glory, I want to see my loved ones there. I want to see all of you there. I want to see every single one of you there. I mean, I want to see your families there. I mean it. I want to see your family. But just don't take for granted that people are saved. Just don't take for granted that. You see, keep preaching the gospel. There's folk out there trying to act like they're saved, but they're not saved. They're not born again. They don't know anything about Jesus Christ. Truly born again Christian. They don't know that. We got to get the gospel to them. We got to tell them that Jesus rose again for their justification, and he wants to save them, you see, and we can't quit that and quit on that. We've got to keep doing it. Just keep going, doing it, see, preaching the gospel and telling people how to be saved. And if people get aggravated, they get aggravated. It's okay. You see, it might be that they'll get over that aggravation and get saved. I'm not being smart. I'm just telling you the truth. I've seen a lot of folk get aggravated and also then later on get saved. You know, it's okay. I just want them to get saved. I want them to know Christ as their Savior. And I certainly want my loved ones. I want them to be in heaven. Amen. Boy, I want my wife there. She's going to go to heaven. And I'll be in heaven. And my children in heaven. Their families in heaven. I just want them all in heaven. Amen. And even the ones that isn't born yet, I want them in heaven. I don't know who they are, but I want them in heaven. I might have some great grandkids one of these days. I want them in heaven. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I just want them in heaven. Amen. That's worth it all. See, all this rest of this stuff don't matter. All these things down here don't matter. I'm going to tell you, you take that last breath. All this don't matter. Amen. Don't matter. A man yesterday was preaching Brother Deering's funeral, and he said, you know, he loved guns. He said this, Mr. Deering, loved guns. He had guns and ammo everywhere. You know, he said it's a funny thing. He didn't take one of them with him. Nothing wrong with him loving guns. Wasn't wrong with that. It was fine. He loved guns. He loved to go out. He loved to fish. He loved to do all this. But you know what? Didn't make any difference. When he left here, he didn't take any of it with him. None of that mattered. Not a thing of that matter. Only thing that matters is your eternal soul. That's all that matters. You die, and you, without Christ, you're in trouble, folks. You spend eternity in the devil's hell forever. You don't want to do that. So what do? We just keep preaching Jesus. We just keep telling people about Jesus because he's the answer. Sin's the problem. Jesus is the answer. Amen. Amen. So Paul declared the resurrection, you see, and he declared that Jesus is alive. He said at the end of verse number 19, chapter 20, 25 there, he said, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. I want to tell you something. Because Jesus lives, the Holy Spirit lives within me. Yes, he does. His spirit lives within me. I don't understand it all. I don't have all the theology. All I know is he's there. Because Jesus Christ lives, I am going to live. Amen. He lives within me because Jesus rose from the dead. He lives within me, and thank God for that. Because he lives, I want to tell you something, heaven's mine. Yes. Because he lives, heaven's ours. Amen. I want to tell you right now, there's preparation work being done right now up there in heaven. Getting ready for my coming. Talk about Jesus coming. He's getting ready for my coming. You know why? He's going to come and get me and take me where he is. So I can be with him forevermore. Amen. You see, I know heaven's mine. Heaven's mine. No doubt about it. You say, oh, no, you're bragging. No, I'm not bragging. Because of Jesus. Jesus rose again, and he saved this soul. I'm going to go to heaven. Because he lives, I'll live forever in heaven. For sure. No doubt about it. Amen. And so I know he's preparing a place for me. The word of God tells me he is, and he's preparing a place for me. And he's going to come get me, and I'm going to be where he's at forever and ever and ever. Why? Because the word of God says so. See, I don't, you say, well, Brother Ross, you're just, no. The word of God says that, and I believe it. Don't you believe it? Heaven's mine because Jesus lives, you see. And because he lives, he intercedes for me. See, Brother Ross, you know, you've done things you shouldn't do. Yeah, I sure have. You know what? But I got an intercessor. I got the blood of Christ that washes me from my sin. I tell God every morning. I tell him, I said, Lord, I don't know all the sins I committed. I think there's things I do that I don't, you know, that only God knows about that I don't pay attention to, and I should. But I said, whatever it is, I want it under the blood. I don't want anything between me and you. Lord, just under the blood, and Jesus intercedes for me. I talked about prayer. I can have a communion with him. I don't have to go in there in my study and get on my knees. I do that. I think that's good. But I don't have to do that. I can talk to him right here. I can talk to him walking down this aisle. I can talk to him sitting in a pew. I can talk to him going, standing back there at that door, walking out there, getting in a car. I can talk to him anytime I want to talk to him. Why? Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, the Son of God, has already interceded for me, you see. And I can talk. I got communion with God. I got that. Why? Because Jesus died and was buried and rose again. See, and I have sweet communion with my God. I have fellowship with God. I'm not bragging. I'm just thanking God. I have that. Amen? Why? Because of Jesus, not me. It's because of Jesus, you see. And so Paul said he's alive. He affirmed that he was alive. And I want to tell you something. I don't love a dead person. I love a living Savior. I want to tell you, every time you go to a funeral, you realize, you know, that these old bodies aren't much. They're just decaying. And I want to tell you, as Mary Martha said, they're stinking. No, I think it was these disciples said, you know, he said, he stinketh, but now. 4 days gone by, and he stinketh. I want to tell you, a few days after we're dead, we'll stink. Body rot, corrupt. These old bodies aren't anything. We was riding home from the funeral, and we was talking about that yesterday. And I reached over and touched my wife on her arm, and I said, "Honey, you know, right now I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad I can touch you, and we know each other, you know, and we see each other, and that's a wonderful thing. And that's what you miss after a funeral. It's what you miss." But that's not really her. No, that's not really her. That's just the old body she's walking around in. That really, which is her, will live forever. It's on the inside. It'll never die. No. So one of these days, after I'm gone, she's going to go. Now, I want you to know something, though, when she does. I just want you all to remember this. When she does, that's not her there in that casket. She's already gone. She come up to see Jesus first, and then she'll see me. I'm being silly, ain't I? But I'm being truthful. See, it's that life inside. These old bodies, you know, they're just corrupt, you know. I don't love a dead person. I love a living Savior. Who's alive. Amen. I want to ask you, whose side are you on this morning? Whose side are you on? The side of a living Savior? If I ask you this morning, would you say that Jesus Christ is your Lord? Without the Spirit of God, you can't call him Lord. No, I'm not talking about just with words, but from the heart, can you say, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior? From the heart, can you say that? Can you? Can you boldly say, he's my Lord, he's my Savior, he's the Son of God, he's God the Son? Can you boldly this morning say that and gladly say it and just lift up your face and say, he is mine. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's the Son of God who died on the cross for my sin. He was buried and he rose again the third day. Unashamedly, can you say that? He did. Whose side are you on? No, folks, you're on one side or the other. No three sides to it. You're on one side or the other. You've either been born again or you're lost as you can be. You understand me? You're either born again or you're lost. And I'd just like for you not to play game with God. Can you boldly inside say, hey, I've accepted him as my personal Savior. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. I love him. Can you say that this morning? Why don't you confess the Lord Jesus, take up your cross, and follow him and serve him for the rest of your life? You and I have no excuse for all he's done for us. We have no excuse not to serve the true, the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. I hear excuses all the time. You do too. Years ago, I gave a few of them. I got saved and realized I didn't have any excuses. Got saved and realized that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Went to the cross and died for me. And I wasn't going to be ashamed of him for the rest of my life. I'm not going to be ashamed of him. I have no reason to be ashamed of him. I'm not going to be ashamed of him. Amen. He died, was buried, and he rose again. For our justification. Did it for us. Now I just want to ask you a question. Let the Spirit of God bear witness with you, one way or another. Are you truly saved? Are you truly born again? I'm not talking about game plan. I'm talking about truly born again. Is there new life in you? That new life is Christ and him alone. Is that in you? Are you his? Are you ready for heaven? If not, if you can't bear witness and say, I know for sure that I'm God's child. I know that I bear witness. The Spirit of God bears witness with me. I know that for sure. If you can't say that, why don't you come this morning and let us take God's word and just make sure that you're God's child and get that settled for the rest of your life. Why walk around with that doubt in your heart? Amen. That's all I'm asking you to do. Make sure that you're God's child this morning. If you are God's child, rejoice. Thank God for his death and his burial and his resurrection. And he's coming again. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I again thank you for the wonderful grace of God. Thank you for your goodness, your kindness. I thank you so much for who you are. You're the great, the true, the living God. We're not ashamed to proclaim that. And along with the Apostle Paul, we'll affirm that he's alive, he's living, and he's coming again. And I just pray this morning, Lord, should there be anyone here, please don't let anyone walk out of this place, oh God, that has not got real assurance of their salvation. Let this be the day they get that taken care of, and we'll thank and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.